Dr. Pam Peek, New York Times best-selling author and founder of the Peak Performance Center, and Michelle King Robeson, leading women's advocate, entrepreneur, and founder of EmpowHer.com, host the show everyone's talking about. It's time for Her Radio.
Wow, I've got an interesting topic for everyone out there. Now, look, we talk about joy and happiness and empowerment. I mean, it's so integral to life. But what about pain and suffering? Come on. You know, it's one of those pieces of life that we really need to be able to understand how to navigate. We have with us today Dr. Nikhil Joshi, who is a young physician, writer, and speaker, and he's currently completing a residency in internal medicine. He's written a book called The End of Suffering. A provocative title to say the least. And we're really talking about a heartbreak, cancer, and the death of a close friend in the span of 1 year and what it teaches you about love, life, and being a doctor. Dr. Joshi, welcome to Her Radio. Michelle's off doing her wonderful Empower Her thing today. So you and I are going to have a conversation about the end of suffering.
So that sounds wonderful. Thank you for having me.
Well, tell us about this issue of what happened to you.
So, I guess where to begin? So, I was 27. I was engaged. I was going through my residency. And then, you know, things fell apart. Things fell apart with my fiance. She eventually, you know, we eventually broke off our engagement, and she left for a bit. And then I picked up the pieces, you know, like we all do after heartbreak. You try and pick up the pieces. You try and, you know, live again. And then I got to tell you, I was feeling this lump on my neck. I was feeling this lump, and I went through the differential diagnosis in my head, and I went through what it could possibly be, and I thought, oh, wow, this is just viral. This is just that. This is not a big deal. And then 6 months went by, and then I was still feeling this lump on the side of my neck. And I turned to my father, who's also a physician. So my dad's a physician in internal medicine. And I said, Dad, just, you know, feel my neck. And he reaches out, and he feels my neck. He gives me a lymph node exam, and he goes ashen. And he says, you know, how long's that been there? And I said, 6 months. And he said, 6 months? I said, yeah, it's been there 6 months. Like, what do you want? Yes, it's been there 6 months. And he says, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just letting you know the last time I felt that, you know, my patient had lymphoma.
And so what was your diagnosis?
My diagnosis is Hodgkin's lymphoma, stage 2A.
There you go. And it's very common in young people. And so now you had heartbreak, you've had this diagnosis, and then you underwent treatment. And where are you today with the disease itself?
So I finished my 4 cycles of ABVD. And that wasn't, you know, much of a picnic, but that's fine. I finished that. My last scan was negative, and I'm still getting, you know, Q3 monthly checkups and lymph node exams, but so far everything's good.
And then you had the death of a close friend that took place during that same year. So we've got the heartbreak, you know, with the fiance, the cancer, the death of the close friend. So, you know, people out in Her Radio land are listening saying, all right. So what are the tips to be able to get through a time when there's emotional and physical trauma going on? What are the kinds of things that would be helpful and not so helpful when you're really trying to support someone at this time? Give us your top three.
Okay, so my top three things to do. My number one thing is be normal. So talk about normal things. Give that person some, you know, some normalcy in their life, because that's what patients want. Especially the more dire, I think, the diagnoses, the more a patient craves normalcy. So, you know, that was one thing. I remember I had a friend call me up. It was football season, and we just talked about football, And I, you know, was so grateful. There's so many times you come around, you ask people, how are you feeling? Like, I feel terrible. I feel terrible.
I think it's important to, you know, to act normal. So what are your next two tips?
So the next two tips, I would say my next, the most important thing that happened is make that person feel attractive. So, like, when I was going through chemo, like, I lost hair like everybody else, and I lost a bit of weight, which was good, and then, you know, then I was, there was a brief time when I was on some steroids, and, you know, that can make you puff up a bit. So, isolation, to tell you, the feeling that I was once this guy who was engaged, I was once this guy who, and then after the engagement was over, I was a guy who was dating, and now I'm like a pariah. Now I can't get a phone number to save my life. Now what?
And so again, that somewhat falls into the whole issue of normalcy as well.
Yeah.
What is your third tip?
I think my third tip is be there, show up. So a lot of people get scared when a close friend or family member gets a diagnosis. They think, what will happen if this person dies, or what does this mean to me? It's not about you, right? Like, it's about the person who's going under these things. I remember I had a close friend. He was in medicine. So a friend who was in medical school, we went through it together. And I hadn't heard from him in about 2 months. I'd gone through chemo. I was going through. And he said, you know, I'm really sorry. He called me up one day. He said, I'm really sorry, but I haven't been there because your situation reminded me a lot of another friend we lost to cancer while we were going through medical school. And I said, you know, I understand. I understand it's tough for you, but it has nothing to do with you. Like, you're my boy. You gotta show up for me.
Excellent. And so I think it's very important then to act normal, to make someone feel not like a pariah, as you said. And as well, the third tip is to just show up and to be there. Don't run away. You know, it's interesting when someone else is going through what you're going through, for instance, and what you went through, it really reflects a mirror back on that person too. You begin to think of your own mortality. You think of your own fears. Mm-hmm. And I think that sometimes you don't really know what to say. People stumble through this entire process. And rather than really confronting it and just acting normal and genuine and transparent, they kind of run from it. And suddenly there's this absence in your life just when you need support. So I think your three points are extremely good. Name one thing, the one thing you just don't want people to do during this time. Maybe a common mistake people make.
I think a common mistake people made for me was they would ask me about, like, what were my chances? Like, what were my, like, what was my risk of mortality? Right? And I found that, like, I found that really strange because, you know, like, no matter what your prognosis is, whether it's 90% or 80% or whatever it is, you know, you're not happy about it, right? Anything less than 100%,
right,
is still a very viable statistic. Like, I don't need to be reminded this might kill me. I'm very well aware of that.
So, you know something? I think you bring up an incredibly important point, and that's the issue of, would you just stay away from numbers already? And as a physician for many, many years now, what I've learned is more of my patients have outlived that prognosis than haven't. So, I mean, I think your point is so well taken. Dr. Nikhil Joshi has joined us. He is the author of The End of Suffering, and we've learned some wonderful tips on how to be able to deal with the issue of pain and suffering. I'm Dr. Pam Peek on Her Radio. Thank you for listening. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and you stay well.